following program has been pre-recorded.
Ron and Anian.
If they're changing the drain plug gasket now, chances are you won't have to replace the oil pan later on somewhere down the road as this car ages with you.
The Car Doctor.
You could get a cat, but then that's something else to take care of, you know.
That's good advice there. I'll have to... Boy, it's a big problem because you know how much damage they can do.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, welcome aboard. You know, it was probably, gosh, I'm going to date myself. Dirt was invented. God was young when I was a little kid. And I was just learning how to repair cars, and I was going to the General Motors Training Center here in Union, New Jersey, and they had an instructor there, Margaret Hines, Peggy Hines, and she was the smartest thing you ever saw, all right? I was really impressed, not because she was a woman fixing cars, but just, she was just that smart, and I never forgot that, and it really taught me a valuable lesson early on that, you know what, anybody can fix cars. It's just their skill set and, you know, the size of the fight and the cat, so to speak. And I thought it would be interesting to really go across and talk about this with Jessica Tulicious. And I hope I'm saying that right. And she's going to explain that last name to me in a minute with a last name like an Anian, right? That it always counts how we say last names. And she's with Women in Auto Care. And Jessica, welcome aboard. Thanks for being part of the Car Doctor today.
Ronnie, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah. My last name is Tulicious, pronounced like delicious. And my grandparents had a bakery just south of Chicago, and it was called the Tulicious Delicious Bakery.
Oh boy.
And so my dad and his brother and sisters woke up every morning with a big old plate of donuts.
Wait a minute. You, the bakery's gone. Do you need a test taster? Tom and I'll come out. We're glad to help. You know, we could
you know
be
what?
The
great question. The bakery is gone, but last year somebody was trancing through some antique stores, and my cousin and his family found the sign from our Tulicious Delicious Bakery store, 3 or 4 hours from where the bakery was, for sale at an antique shop. They wanted $300 for it.
You know, it's funny because things like that, the mom and pop store that endured and created those legacies and those memories, you know, those recipes are the best. Those recipes are the gold. Does the family still have the recipes?
They do, yeah. Well, it's a mom and pop shop, kind of like yours, right? You've got
Little did I know what I was creating when I tried to create this, you know. And that's a true story where I was started. I remember going down to the General Motors Training Center in Union. It was 1982, 83. And Peggy Hines was the smartest thing on 2 feet. She could outshine all the other male instructors. And, you know, you don't want to get into the male-female like it's a battle thing here, but just, you know, you can be smart. Anybody can fix cars. It's the amount of brains and the amount of fighting the cat and how bad do you want it and how bad do you want to learn it. When I saw this, Women in Auto Care, you know, full transparency here, you guys put out a press release talking about this, and I said, I want to talk to these people because this is really, it's the first time I'm seeing it, and I think it's a heck of an idea of what you're trying to accomplish, making people more aware. Tell us, what's Women in Auto Care all about?
Yeah, thanks. So the Women in Auto Care Assist is associated with the Auto Care Association. And the Auto Care Association is comprised of about 500,000 businesses like yours, that do anything that happens to a car after it leaves the dealership. And the Women in Auto Care is affiliated with that, and it's just any women who work in any of those businesses. So it could be technicians, it could be people who work in marketing or HR, salespeople, designers, engineers. We've got a lot of women shop owners. We don't have a lot of female technicians. There aren't a lot out there, but we want more, and we're working really hard to recruit them. There are some cool companies out there right now that are doing a lot of work in order to get more technicians out in the market, and women especially.
Why do you think that is, Jessica? You know, where technicians, there's a shortage of competent technicians. All right. And we all know this. And, you know, if women can do the job, are they do we have a bias problem here? You know, I don't know any way to say this without being politically incorrect, but do men just look down upon it? I'd be thrilled to have somebody smart working next to me. I don't care if they're male, female, or anything in between. It doesn't matter. Can you fix a car? Right?
Yeah, it's a super hard question to answer, right? I don't think you have enough time on this radio show for us to solve that problem. But the more that we can recruit them, and our organization is all about connecting, empowering, and mentoring women in order to get them into this industry and then to stay in it. It's an awesome business to be in. It does great in good times. It does great in recessionary times. I think we've all learned during COVID that not every business is made equal, and we're so lucky to be in an industry that's thriving.
Well, and, you know, to that point, here in New Jersey, back in March or April, whatever it was, and they were going to shut down all the businesses, which they did, and they were going to shut down auto repair. To your point, I believe one of the state senators on the way home from work one night got a flat, and he couldn't get a flat fixed. How come? Well, you closed all the auto repair shops. And right away, that order was rescinded. Everybody got to reopen again. Like, hey, you know what? We are an essential business. You're right. We do well in good times and bad times. The percentage of women in auto repair right now is less than 2%, I think, right, that are fixing cars, actual technicians.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Overall in the workforce, there are about 42% of women. In the entire auto care aftermarket, there are about 27%. And like you said, technicians is less than 2%. And there's a cool company that's involved with us called TechForce, and it's a startup company that's focused just on educating and getting high school students and beyond interested in this field.
So, you know, how do you solicit, or, you know, are you going to trade shows? Are you, you know, is this word of mouth? You know, how do you, you know, help women in this community? Because obviously once they're in, you know, we'll make the example, maybe there are women out there that are selling cars, but they really want to fix cars. Can you help them get into the bays?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're all about educating, mentoring, and connecting. So one of our platforms is we have this amazing scholarship fund. We've given more than $500,000 to high school and post-secondary education for women who are interested in this industry. There are some cool stories about women around that we've really helped and brought them into this industry and made them feel awesome about being involved in automotive, because it is such a phenomenal place to be. We have a mentoring platform, so that's about, once you're in the industry, really helping to match the leaders of today with the leaders of tomorrow. We have a ton of opportunities through virtual events and leadership conferences and mixers in order to make sure that people are continuing to connect and build relationships so that we can keep them here.
Jessica, tell me real quick about the virtual events. Like, what are some of the virtual events you guys are doing?
Yeah, you know, like your business, you probably had to pivot during COVID, right? Nobody was expecting this.
No, we certainly
had to do the same thing. I took over this role on this committee. It's a volunteer position that I have in March. And March was a funny time to take this over. And our goal was, how do we mentor women? How do we get more women involved? How do we give out a bunch of scholarships? And that was tough. And we had to figure out, how do we connect people when they can't be in person? And so, like everywhere, we've been really resilient. And we launched a series of virtual events, and we do about 3 a month. And we've had some super cool speakers. Maybe you'll come on, Ron, one day and speak. We've had an F-16 pilot share secrets of bandwidth. We've had a FedEx employee talk to us about how to communicate better during COVID. Really neat people. So it might be a really cool thing for you to come on and talk to us about how you pivoted during this time, and then how you started a podcast from owning a shop, and how that transitioned and how that's built your business.
There's not enough time in the course of this radio show to explain how this radio show became a podcast, became, you know, one of the top 200 in the country. That's a very long story. Jessica, stay put. Let me pull over and take a pause. And when we return, we'll pick up this conversation again. I'm here with Jessica Talicious. Did I get that right? I got that right. And I'm Ron Anini, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Keep Ron's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ron Anini, and the Car Doctor. We're here talking with Jessica Talicious. She's with Women in Auto Care. Jessica, you're still there.
I'm still here, yeah.
I'm glad. I would hope that you didn't drive away to go get some donuts from Grandma and Grandpa's Bakery that was in Chicago that we talked about in the open. You see, you got me thinking about food again, and that's hard. When you're an Armenian boy, it's all about the donuts. We're talking about the virtual events that Women in Auto Care are putting on and some of the things that you guys are doing. And you've got a lot of effort. You've got scholarships going on. You're trying to connect with women in secondary and all sorts of levels of education. So let me ask you the hard question, and I'll say it as simply as I can. Why is it important for women to work in this industry? In a male-dominated industry, why do we want to get women involved? What's the upside?
Yeah, it's such a great question, Ron. And this may surprise you, but 67% of a shop's target customers are women, and women represent about $200 billion with a B on repairs and services. So it's good for your pocket, right? It's good for your bottom line.
Well, I've always said, listen, I've always said that women customers, because, listen, back when I taught high school auto shop a million years ago, you would always notice the girls always sat on the edge of their seat. Right. They were always paying attention. The boys, my dad told me how to work on cars. This guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And they would always sit back and they wouldn't pay attention. So it was always, and it's to this day, it's easier to connect with women if you talk to them, not at them. And, you make that connection and it's a whole lot easier to run the shop. And that's one of the things. You want to know how we've gotten to the point where we are now? It's COVID or not COVID. Just talk to people. But women in particular, they like to be talked to and paid attention to and just not patronized, but explain things. And, it generates business. And I think that's what you're telling us, right?
Sure. Yeah. One of the books that we read this year was by Sally Krawcheck, who's the CEO of Merrill Lynch, or has been in the past the CEO of Merrill Lynch and Citigroup. And she's the founder of Elvest, which is an investment platform that is dedicated and designed for women. And she says when you invest in women and in companies that support women, you can bring about a rare win-win-win for families, nations, and the planet.
I believe it. I really do. I think, yeah. I think the takeaway here has to be that, and I like it. I really do. You're trying to kick over the table of the good old boys club. I mean, there's no other way to say it. You're trying to come into a male-dominated industry that, it's so obvious to anybody that's in it any length of time that needs help. I when I left the shop yesterday and I was talking to my buddy Tim, he's a tech at the local Nissan dealer, and Tim's about as level-headed as it comes. And, he says it plain and simple. He called me up, he had a problem about a car and we were talking about it. And he said, listen, I'm willing to take help from anybody. He goes, it's so difficult working on cars today. Anybody that thinks they can fix cars, step in and help me because, we need to understand and resolve the issues we're having with cars. And, that's why I said men, women, elephants, gorillas, I don't care what it is. If it can fix a car, let's put it in the bay and get it to work. And that's all part of this. And I think that's what you guys have realized. And I think you're really smart for doing so. Any cool women involved? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There are. I was just saying, I guess a few weeks ago you had some folks on who talked about the right to repair. And the Auto Care Association is the national association that has put together that campaign.
Right.
And women are a big part of that, right? And men, we're all a big part of that. And it's such an important thing for shops like yours.
Yeah, it is. And, it's a two-part process. There's men, there's women. Everybody's got to make a decision. Everybody's got to be involved in what's going on here. Who are some of the cool women? Who are the top performers right now, women in auto care? If you were going to tell me about someone that's like top of the game right now from the female side, who is it?
Yeah, so we give away a ton of scholarships, like I said, and the woman who won our largest scholarship this year is a pretty cool young chick who was scared to come into this industry. Like you said, she was a little scared to come into a male-dominated industry and wasn't exactly sure what to do. And when she applied for the scholarship, she was really timid. And once she won the scholarship and then got involved and got to meet some of the amazing C-suite executives and VPs that we have throughout different places in the industry, she got really jazzed. And she started her own car group, and it's in Detroit. It's called the Detroit Speed Demons. She's a young chick who's going places, and we're so excited to be able to support women like that.
You know, if someone wants to get involved with Women in Auto Care, the listeners out there, how do they go about it?
Yeah, so Women in Auto Care, it's open to anybody who's an Auto Care Association member. So, Ron, is your shop, are you guys Auto Care Association members?
I believe we are, yeah.
I have to think we're
a member of so many things. I can't keep track, but I'm pretty sure we are a member of the Auto Care Association. I'm sorry,
yeah,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's important, right? Because when you talked about how your shop got shut down, the Auto Care Association is who went to Congress and lobbied in order to make sure that our industry was considered essential. Because like you said, with your representative, right, flat tire on the side of the road needed help. This is an essential industry. And the Auto Care Association, any woman who or man who is involved and a member of that can become involved with our community, and they can come to our leadership conferences and participate in any of our virtual events, and certainly follow us on social media. Google it. You can find us out there. It's autocare.org/women in auto care. We'd love to have you guys involved.
Well, listen, we're here for you any way we can. Any other ways that we can help? Anything we can do to, you know, spread the word other than just talk about it here on air?
Yeah, Ron, how many technicians do you have?
Right now, two.
Two, okay. And have you ever had a woman technician?
No.
Yeah, there aren't a lot. Like we talked about, there's only 1.9%. But if you can, in your life, you know, seek those women out and see if you can take business, give them business, give them opportunities. And Ron, I know you and I talked a little bit about your daughters and how important it was to teach them how to change their tires and change their wiper blades and change their oil and flip out a filter in their car. Continue doing that, right? Find opportunities to go to high school and to go to colleges and talk to women and men alike and tell them how cool this industry is and how successful they can be and all of the amazing opportunities that are available to them. Number three is we have a huge scholarship fund. We've given away more than $500,000. We want to give away a whole lot more. We want to help you guys. We know that there's a huge shortage for technicians right now, right? And half of the population out there is women. So let's grab some of them. Let's pull them in. Let's give them some awesome jobs. And then four is just, you know, spreading awareness. So opportunities like this to talk to you has been really great. And we just want to make sure that more people are aware and thinking about the language that we use when we talk about technicians, about how they can be women and they can be men. That's really important. So if you guys would like to make a donation to the scholarship fund, we'd love to have it. They make great stocking stuffers. But really, just make sure you're sharing the word.
Okay, you got it. Listen, you know, it used to be years ago, I think it was a physical strength thing, right, that separated the men from the women in terms of being in auto repair. But
sure.
Now it's, you know what, you don't necessarily have to be physically strong. You have to be mentally strong. You have to be smart enough to, you know, you have to be smart enough to fix cars to know that you can go and do a lot of other things in life and the world too, right, because you have to be that technically competent. So, but Jessica Talicious, yeah. Women in Auto Care, I want to say thank you. I really appreciated you taking the time. We were glad to have you guys. We'll have to get you back again real soon. Maybe we'll talk again in the spring. We'll see how things are going. Yeah. But you have yourself a good, happy new year and a good rest of the holiday season. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Hey, coming up next, Paul Eisenstein, the Detroit Bureau, a man who needs no introduction here on the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Back, where I'm needing the Car Doctor. You know, this time of year is, well, it's always a good time to talk to our next guest. He's just a fun guy to talk to on air, and he's truly so knowledgeable in everything we want to cover and to explain to all of you listeners out there. Without any further ado, Paul Eisenstein, the Detroit Bureau. Mr. Eisenstein, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and whatever else it is you celebrate in between.
Yeah,
how are you today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What a crazy year, right? I think if the aliens and the locusts showed up, it would have kind of balanced everything out. We would have had a little bit of everything this year.
I thought we did have a locust somewhere, but yeah.
We might have. Yeah, you're right. We might have. But from an automobile perspective, you know, wrap up the year for us. Let's talk about sales, right? Let's start with sales. Where did we go auto sales-wise? I mean, COVID had to have an impact, right? And now...
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And then the impact on available product. Fill us in. Where are we?
Before I go specifically into sales, I was talking to one of my editors. You know, I write for some other publications like NBC besides thedetroitbureau.com. And was asked, could you put together a list of the things you would put in a year-ender, wrap-up? Year-ender is sort of inside media term,
yeah,
as you know. And I came up with a list that I thought was incomplete, and I had probably 20 or 25 very significant bullet points that I thought we would have to hit.
Sales
are certainly... one of them. In fact, I was in a webinar with a company called IHS Market, a big research firm, today, and we were talking about sales around the world. And global sales were down about 16% this year. Curiously enough, in the United States, down about 16.4%. That's a huge drop, but it's also not as bad as people thought it would be. This is the interesting thing. If you go back to, March and April, the numbers were down almost by half, and some people thought they'd continue dropping by as much as 80%. That didn't happen, and as you got into the autumn, things started perking up again. But there's been a problem, and that's production. You may remember that the factories shut down for, 2 months?
Yeah.
And that left a lot of dealers without inventory, and the manufacturers are frantically trying to fill back the pipeline, especially when it comes to SUVs and pickups, which remain strong, and they just can't quite catch up. So it's anybody's guess when dealers are going to be loaded up with the type of stock they would normally have this time of year. Some products you just simply can't get, or you have to settle for different, say, models, a Ford F-150 or a Ram pickup or some of the more popular SUVs like the Hyundai Palisade. You might have to settle or wait before you can get one.
Or maybe you're going to go to the dealer to buy that new car, and you're not going to find that wiggle room on price like maybe you did 5 years earlier or 3 years earlier because cars are in short supply.
Or 6 months ago.
Right, yeah.
In fact, you're absolutely right. Interestingly enough, the automakers had a very good third quarter, and dealers were, by and large, having some of their best profits ever. The head of AutoNation, you know, the big public dealer network,
right.
Mike Jackson, an old friend, told investors at their stockholders meeting a couple months ago that, if you don't have the inventory, you just don't give the discounts, and, you sell a higher price models if you can get them. And that was what happened. So what do you see? Partially because people have been intentionally upgrading lately, but you've been seeing record high, what they call transaction prices. People are paying more for the new cars than ever right now. And part of that's because they're opting up for higher levels and more features, but also because the discounts are just disappearing because factory and dealers don't have to give the big discounts when they don't have the product to sell.
Do you think that 16% sales drop, 16 and a few points sales drop, does that number include, for example, say fleet sales? Because I was reading somewhere that, rental car business just about disappeared. Nobody was traveling by airplane to go anywhere. So the airport rental car businesses just disappeared. And that's got to affect car sales, right?
Yep. In fact, the rental car business has not bounced back yet. You may recall the headlines when Hertz, the biggest rental car company, declared bankruptcy earlier this year, and that was one of the reasons. They were in a mess before COVID, and it just pushed them over the edge. So the rental car companies are not buying vehicles the way they used to. And it's anybody's guess when they're going to start ordering again. On the other hand, the economy has been reasonably good and a lot better than people thought it would be right now. So you do have a lot of small businesses that are buying pickups and delivery vans and the like. So on the positive side, that's helping make up a little bit of the business loss to the rental fleets.
How was the electric car business affected by COVID, Paul, in terms of sales? Can they meet the demand, or are they behind also? Do you know?
they're a little bit behind. The electric car business has been growing over recent years, and it will probably pick up a lot more in the next few years. Globally, it's doing pretty darn well. Some parts of Europe, you're seeing 50 and 60% of the sales. Norway, for example, are electric vehicles for all sorts of reasons. Here, I think we're going to be up about 2% of the market will be pure battery electric vehicles this year, which, you know, is up from less than 1% a couple years ago. And the thing is, there's a lot more product and a lot of better product out. I don't know if you happen to catch today the announcement of the North American Car and Truck of the Year, Truck and Utility Vehicle of the Year, finalists, excuse me. And among those was the new Mustang Mach-E, which is up for the Utility Vehicle of the Year. And I think it has a very good shot at winning that title over some conventional vehicles. You know, you're going to see a ton of electrics coming out over the next 24 months. The Mustang Mach-E, the Volkswagen ID.4, the GMC Hummer, the Chevrolet EUV, and on and on and on.
It's going to be interesting, right? And it's funny how the electric car market seems to be growing even in the face of COVID. Hey, Paul, sit tight. Let me pull over and take a pause, and we'll come back and we'll finish up. We're with Paul Eisensteiner, the DetroitBureau.com. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. And I'd be driving it myself. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, here with Paul Eisensteiner, the Detroit Bureau. Paul, welcome back. You're there, sir.
Yeah. Hey.
Yes, sir. You know, so we see sales are up and down. What else you got on that year-end list, Paul?
Wow, let's see. This is a big year for transitions, if you will. For one thing, we talked about electric vehicles. Next year is going to be a real, real transition year with a lot of product coming to market. But we're also seeing a lot of things happen in the autonomous world right now. And that, I think, is going to be pretty darn significant because there's several manufacturers out there who are beginning to test fully driverless vehicles. The General Motors subsidiary, GM or Cruise Origin, is a vehicle that they brought out. You may recall early this year, looks sort of like a toaster on wheels, and there's no steering wheel up there, no controls at all. You are going to be seeing that in modified versions of the Chevrolet Bolt EV that will be tested fully driverless. We're going to see another company called Zooks, which builds another, or is trying to build another, toaster on wheels. It seems to be the popular design lately with all these futuristic companies.
Have you been in any of the driverless vehicles?
Also, will be driverless.
Paul, have you ever?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever been in any of the driverless vehicles yet? Have you had the experience?
I have never driven in a. Well, no, I take it back. On a limited course, I've been in a vehicle that was fully driverless. Never. Without a backup driver,
right,
on public roads. But in the next year, we're going to start seeing actual vehicles that will have no driver in there, and in some cases, no instruments, no controls for anybody to grab were the vehicle to have a problem. The technology is definitely advancing. You know, we see Tesla with the supposed hands-free system, which really isn't, and they promise to go a step further in the next year. So, will we see truly hands-free cars within the next few years? Probably,
yeah.
On limited cases. You know, General Motors has its technology out there, Super Cruise. Ford is about to bring out the co-pilot assist system and so on. And these technologies will at least let you take your hands off the wheel as long as you remain vigilant and ready to take control in an emergency. But the next step will be fully hands-free, and then eventually you're going to start seeing vehicles that won't need a driver at all.
Wow.
That will be either for sale or rent, or more likely, at least initially, will be operated by various ride-sharing services like Waymo or Uber or Lyft.
Can you imagine that the impact You know, you think about it, a driverless vehicle. Now you don't need to get a driver's license. You don't need to go get tested. You don't need driving instructors. You don't need to take a driving test. You know, all the fees and the associated costs that people have to incur in their lifetime to pay for the privilege of driving a car, that's all gone. You're going to change, change the economy.
Yeah, the other thing that's very important that gets forgotten many times is that there's a significant portion of the American public that can't drive. They may have a disease like multiple sclerosis. They may be restricted for, well, legal reasons. Maybe they were drunk and they can't operate a vehicle.
Right.
They're elderly, any number of things. There are millions of people out there who must depend on somebody else to give them a ride. And that's one of the potential things that one of the breakthroughs that fully driverless vehicles could help resolve.
And they could. You know, I think about my mom. My mom was 96 almost when she passed. And I asked her one day, we were talking, and I said, Ma, I said, you know, you're going to miss seeing driverless cars. And she says, that's okay. I wouldn't want to get in one anyway, Ronnie. She says, I've seen the world. I'm not impressed. She goes, I don't want to be around for driverless cars. You know, Paul, could you imagine putting your 90-year-old mother in a driverless car and saying, hey, Ma, the car's going to take you to the doctor? Like, would she really let you do that? I wonder. You know, but you make a fair point, and I understand it. And I think there is a place for it. So I've got 2 minutes left, Paul. Give me another year-ender.
Well, certainly, we're going to see an ongoing battle over the rollback of the fuel economy standards that President Trump tried to put through. I expect that President-elect Biden, once in office, will kill that, and we will go back to the Obama-era fuel economy standards, which will be a lot easier to meet with all the electric vehicles coming out.
Right.
There's a lot coming up in 2021. And I think a quick look ahead at that, we have a new transportation secretary, if he's approved by the Senate, Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, will be facing a load of challenges, and one of which is the rapidly depleting federal highway trust fund, the money used to pay for road repairs. And we've got, 10%, 15% of the nation's bridges are substandard or failing. Roadways in Michigan are a nightmare. So rebuilding the infrastructure is going to be one of the big challenges. Coming up with new safety standards, the NHTSA, that basically oversees highway standards in the United States, was completely frozen under President Trump. He didn't have a permanent official running that for 4 years. And there's a lot of bills, a lot of new technology that could come out, but the government couldn't do anything about it because there was nobody there running the show. So that's something that may happen. We're going to see a lot of new product next year, and one of the big questions is what happens to gas prices.
And what happens now that we're not buying that much gas? No gas tax, no money to pay for infrastructure. Who's paying to fix the roads? Yeah. How do they do that?
That's one of the big problems is that people are off the road. They're not putting gas in their cars frequently. And we don't know what's going to happen. On the other hand, one last thing we will be watching for, will mass transit and ride sharing bounce back once the vaccine, if it works, takes hold, if COVID starts to disappear, because mass transit has taken a massive hit here in the United States, but so have services like Uber and Lyft.
Right.
People just don't want to be, you know, in those vehicles or trains or buses anymore.
Right.
So will mass transit come back?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Paul, listen, I want to take a moment and just real quick tell you it was a pleasure having you with us this year. We look forward to having you with us next year, and you're an essential part of this radio show. And we want to tell you we're very proud to have you, and we want to say thank you, and we want to wish you and yours Happy New Year. All right, kiddo?
Yeah, thank you. I've always enjoyed coming on, so I look forward to it in 2021. I wish you, your family, and all listeners a very safe and healthy holiday, and let's hope that 2021 becomes a year that things begin to get back to normal.
We do, too. Okay, Paul, you take good care. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Wow, what a busy couple of hours here on the Car Doctor. I just want to wrap this year up and say, you know, it's been a real pleasure to be here for each and every one of you. And I hope in some way we were able to answer any and all of your automotive questions. You know, it's an ever-changing, ever-growing plethora of issues that people want to know about with their cars. And we stand ready. We're here. We're here for you to help answer and address those questions, whatever they might be. So in the coming year, I want to take a moment and wish you all kindness, health, wealth, prosperity, and hopefully 2020 is behind us and we can look forward to the new year. And, you know, we can continue to learn about cars and talk about it because that's what we're here for. As I said, I'm in awe that, you know, next month we begin our 30th year. I think it's our 30th year broadcasting, doing the Car Doctor radio show. And I'm just sort of staggered by it that, you know, where did 30 years go? You know, I can't begin to tell you. It's an overwhelming feeling. But to be here for you each and every week is a real honor. I really mean that. And I'm glad that you consider us important enough to be part of your everyday, every weekend, you know, life like this. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Happy New Year. Till the next time, each time, every time, reminding you, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.